Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5 year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 5 of week number 49, studying Luke's Gospel. As we get started in today's study, these reminders, our free materials are always available by clicking the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call us toll-free at this number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series, or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. You can access all of these IGH 260 programs by going to internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. A quick program update. Remember, starting in 2020, this IGH 260 series will transition to an exclusive online platform and be known as the 260 Project. To keep up with this ongoing study in the new year, visit the 260 Project website at the260project.org. That's the word the, followed by the number 260260, the word project.org, the260project.org. Go there for links to all of our social media pages and to sign up to receive the weekly The 260 Project newsletter. We hope that you can join us in 2020 as we continue this study of every chapter in the New Testament. Let's get back into our study of Luke. But first this, remember what God says. Throughout Scripture, God says, here's where you are, here's where you need to be. Move. That divine directive, that divine expectation, can be found throughout the New Testament. It's summed up in the words, faith, repentance, baptism. Each word entails a beginning place, a starting place that never ends. Biblical, saving faith, to be what God wants it to be, will always move in the direction that God wants it to go. That kind of faith, it never stops. Repentance, the fruit of godly sorrow that leads to salvation, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10, once repentance starts, it never stops. And finally, baptism, our death to self and our death to sin, and then alive to and alive for Christ's initial obedience. Baptism has never been a one-time, one-off, singular act of faithful obedience. It has always inherently called for our complete and our ongoing, that is, our daily death to self and our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. We cannot be what God wants us to be and what God expects us to be without these modeling Jesus elements. Are you modeling Jesus today? Let's return to our study of the delivered principle that we see introduced in Luke chapter 1. As we surveyed the New Testament's teaching about this principle, we noted that there are at least 5 generations, 5 transfers of the gospel. Those generational transfers start with God the Father, and they end with others also, the language that Paul used in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. Here are the 5 generational transfers that we have introduced and that we continue to explore. First generation, from God the Father to God the incarnate Son, that is, from God the Father to Jesus. Second generation, from Jesus the Messiah to his apostles. Third generation, from Jesus' apostles to men like Timothy and to men like Luke. Fourth generation, from men like Timothy and Luke to faithful men like Theophilus. And finally, the fifth generation, from faithful men like Theophilus to others also. As we prepare for our discussion of the third generation, the transfer of God's redemptive message from the apostles to the next generation of believers, we asked a number of questions. These questions are asked in order to make us think about how and why the delivered principle applies to us today. We repeat and we expand on some of those questions in today's study. What do you believe? Spiritually, religiously, biblically. Where did it come from? Parents, grandparents, other family members, friends, co-workers, neighbors, classmates, religious leaders? Why do you believe it? Do you believe it because you have always believed it? Because it's true and you know that it's true? Because you can find it, read it, know it from your own study of God's Word? Because it makes sense? Or maybe you have not really given much thought to what you believe, to where it came from, and why you believe it as you do. What does the delivered principle have to do with all of these questions? Properly understood and appreciated, that principle helps us answer all of the what, where, and why questions that we or others have about their faith. Let's consider that some more. Think about something biblical that you have believed for a long time. Whatever it might be, can you find it in the delivered principle as we read about it in Scripture? Did God the Father deliver what you believe or what you practice to Jesus the Son? Did Jesus the Son deliver what you believe or practice to His apostles? Did the apostles deliver what you believe or practice to the second, to the next generation of believers, to believers like Luke and Timothy? Did believers like Luke and Timothy deliver what you believe or practice to the next generation of believers, to men like Theophilus, or to those taught by Timothy in Ephesus? And finally, did believers like Theophilus and others like him in his generational place, did they deliver what you believe or practice to the generation beyond them, to others also? If you cannot find it in any of these transfers of saving faith from Father to others also, then what's your reason for believing it? The same questions can be asked through a slightly different lens, the in writing delivered principle. Can you find what you believe in the delivered principle that resulted in inspired and revealed Scripture? Did God the Father deliver what you believe to and through the Holy Spirit? Did the Holy Spirit deliver what you believe to and through inspired writers like Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, or Paul? Did these inspired writers deliver what you believe to individuals like Timothy or Titus or Philemon? Did these inspired writers deliver what you believe and practice to churches like those at Rome or Ephesus or Thessalonica or in the region of Galatia? Why all of these questions about the delivered principle? For this reason, if you cannot find what you believe and or practice in any transfer of divine truth, either orally or in writing, then where did what you believe come from? What you believe must come from somewhere. It must be rooted in something that you consider to be spiritually authoritative. If it cannot be found in the generational transfers that we find taught within the pages of Scripture, why then do you believe it? Admittedly, these questions are somewhat troublesome. They can be disturbing. They might come across as a bit too personal, perhaps even judgmental. But they are asked not to cause trouble, not to disturb, not to hurt you or anyone else personally, and not to be judgmental. They are asked to make us think, to think about what we believe, and to think about why we believe it. It comes back to what we have noted many times before. When Jesus was challenged about his authority, he asked those who challenged him about John's teaching. The baptism of John, where was it from? From heaven or from men? Matthew 21, verse 25. What I believe and teach, where did it come from? From heaven or from men? What you believe and teach, where did it come from? From heaven or from men? If I cannot find what I believe and what I teach in something that was delivered in either of the two generational transfer models, orally or through writing, that is, in Scripture, then why do I believe and why do I teach it? Likewise, if you cannot find what you believe and what you teach in something that was delivered in either of those two generational transfer models, orally or, again, in writing or via scripture, then why do you believe and why do you teach it? Let's think some more about that third generational transfer of God's redeeming message from the apostles to the next generation of believers, including men like Luke and Timothy, and to all who heard and who responded to the apostles' teaching. We noted earlier that the text of Acts chapter 2, either as Peter was preaching in that context or through what Luke the writer said in that context, that the text of this chapter frequently notes that Peter's message originated with God and not with Peter and not with anyone else. Some in the religious world seem to have the idea that apostles had authority beyond what Christ, beyond what the Spirit, and beyond what Scripture ascribes to them. Yes, it's true, the apostles were chosen by Christ. And yes, the apostles were empowered by the Spirit to preach and to teach and to show signs and miracles. And yes, Scripture certainly chronicles who the apostles were and what the apostles did. But even in light of these three elements, the apostles were restricted in what they could do. We underscore only one of those restrictions in order to make a point. When Jesus was traveling in the region of Caesarea Philippi with the apostles, Jesus asked them, first, who others thought he was, Matthew 16, verses 13 and 14, and then, second, Jesus asked who they thought that he was, verse 15. It was in response to that second question that Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," Matthew 16, 16. Here's how Jesus responded to Peter's answer. Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16, verses 17 through 19. In our next broadcast, we will return to this passage in order to explain just how the apostles were restricted in what they could do. This reminder as we close, to start our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.